Okay. We left off with the implicit question that Rashi asked. In the implicit question that Rashi asked in Dibur Maskil Ofer Kotzlar Sovu Bespina La Aretz, which is Bespina Min Hasam, not some Pashit. Bespina Min Hasam does not have a hole in it. But we know in Utz it only counts if it's Naka, meaning forget the machlokes of if it's in the air, if it's in the water, or the whole Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim. You need a hole, but compared to Utz it's Naka. How come the Sfina is not Nakuf? So Rashi answers based on the Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara Menachos is talking about Pikurim, and it brings a stira between two brises. One of which says from the Sfina, what grows in the Sfina is Chayim Pikurim. One says Pachter, and also two brises. One says what grows in an Atzitz is Chayim Pikurim. One says Pachter. The Gemara says no problem. There's no steer to the atzitz and the atzitz. An atzitz nakum is chayv mikurim, and atzitz shenu nakum is not chayv mikurim. No problem. Svina is also lokasha. Now they could have said, kan the svina nakuba, kan the svina shenu nakuba, but that's not what they say. Okay, the smile is because we don't expect the svina to be nakuba. Although we smile till we see something we should. But Lokasha Kam Besfina Shel Eitz Kam Besfina Shel Cheres. Cheres. There's apparently a difference in terms of Nakov between Eitz and Cheres. What is the difference in terms of Nakov between Eitz and Cheres? So there are four basic shitas in the Rishonim. Let's stick with the Gemara in Menachos. Hey. What did they say? Kam Besfina Shel Eitz, Kam Besfina Shel Cheres. So here you have Eitz, and here you have Cheres. What's Rashi's pshat? Rashi's pshat is, what's the difference between Eitz and Cheres?
Permeability.
Permeability, which is which?
Cheres is permeable.
Exactly. Eitz, Sarech Nekev. An eitz needs a hole because it's not so permeable. Cheres, einu tzarich nekev. No, that is the Rashi says there. Cheres is min adama. Cheres is dirt anyway. So the cheres lets the since the cheres is dirt, it lets the yanika through, even without a hole. Since the wood is not dirt, it only lets the yanika through if there's a hole. And therefore, what does Rashi say about gittin? Not Zion of a days, where it doesn't have a hole. So Rashi says, no problem. It doesn't have a hole, but it's a Sfina Shel Cheres. Meaning it could be Sfina of anything. So Rashi says, no problem. Rashi says, obviously, so far, a Sfina doesn't have a hole. That would be a silly place to put a hole. But it's a Sfina Shel Cheres, which is exactly what Rashi says, no problem. Okay, Tosos has many attacks on Rashi. Before we see Tosos' attacks on Rashi, let us just see what the Tosos and our daf quotes. I think it's the name of Rebbe Tam. Right? Venera Rebbe Tam. Here is Rebbe Tam in Tosos and Gittin. Obviously, in many places they quote Rebbe Tam here. What does Rebbe Tam this way? What does Rebbe Tam say? The exact opposite. Right? Cheres needs a nekev, and eitz does not need a nekev, and therefore, our sonya, obviously, the sfina doesn't have a hole, but no problem, the sfina shall eitz, which is a typical sfina shall eitz, I think, I don't know, I didn't make sfinas in the old days, but probably they made more sfinas out of eitz than cheres, and therefore, what's the difference? So Tosus points out that Tosus says, wood is more permeable than cheres. Now, where's Charlie when you need him? Anyway, any material scientists here?
He's on an airplane.
Okay. What's more permeable, cheres or what's more permeable, cheres or eitz?
Depends. Depends on the kind of wood. Depends on the kind of cheres.
Okay. The seder. So Tosos thinks cheres is less permeable. He brings a raya that the Gemara says that if you want to bury your some sort of onion type of things during Shvias and they shouldn't grow from the ground during Shvias, you put them in a kli cheres. And in general, in Safi kli cheres, kli cheres is very protective. Okay,
His proof isn't that it's not Gecheres there. Maybe that was just a common example they gave. But Tos says Cheres is not permeable. Wood is more permeable than Cheres. It's funny. In Hilchas Kashrus, we seem to assume Cheres is more permeable. But Tosus says, what's the svara? What? Okay. The svara is that wood is more permeable than Cheres. It's interesting. When Rashi says the svara in, Rashi here doesn't say a svara. He just says a dig. Cheres ain't tzarech linakev. If it would be on the karka or according to each shita, wherever it is. But the Rashi in Menachos, give me a second, what he does say is, he says, Misina shal cheres may be yikore, mishum deshel oretzi. Okay, well, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be somebody like in that. Okay, at the very least, I'm not sure whether I should dike there, but some of the Rishon, at least quoted Rashi, that what's unique about cheres, because cheres is min adama, min bagino inochotzi, as it were. You know, maybe since cheres is made from the ground, it lets the anika through more. I don't know if he necessarily has to say cheres is in general more permeable than eitz, but you're talking about cheres with dirt on the bottom and dirt on top. Since the cheres is also made of dirt, therefore it has been starved to the yanika, as opposed to wood. So I don't know if Rashi thinks cheres is always more permeable. At the very least, he says it's min adama. Okay, but Rashi the Menachos is shel eretzi. It's not exactly clear in Rashi Menachos. Does he mean the things that are growing in the ground, or does he mean the cheres is made out of the ground? Yeah, exactly. But certainly that's in the Rishonim, quote him. Okay.
Why do you say it's more permeable? Is it permeable or it's not? The Chor should be very absolute, because otherwise it is not permeable or it isn't permeable.
Fair enough.
The second thing is, the Chor is a machlokas in Metzius.
So Lachoritz Machlokas in Metzias. Okay. Lachoritz Machlokas in Metzias. Good point. I mean, no matter what I say, even if like one says, well, it's more permeable, so it has more unique, the other says, it's min adama, so it's more unique, it's Machlokas in Metzias. I don't have an answer to that unless I'm willing to say something radical, and I'm not willing to say something radical for another 10 minutes. And even then, I might be wrong.
Does it distinguish between fired cheres and non-fired cheres?
No, there's a different Gemara that talks about non-fired cheres. They're all talking about fired. They're all talking. Cheres always means fired. If it's not fired, it's called a kli adama.
Maybe it's how you understand the pasuk b'parashas Tzav, where the cheres is in Zeres HaKosta, where you're actually.
Great, it doesn't cost us, could be.
Is it so clear that Rashi is in with Tzarek Mecca because min adama is to facilitate Yanika?
That's what everyone in the world assumes, but we'll come back to that. I hear what you're saying. Just realize that you're going out on a limb. Okay, we'll come back here. Let's just finish the lay of the land. There being a time in Tosos and Menachos, right? What does Tosos and Menachos say? At first, Betchila haya Rabbi Tam Rogalomar, like he says in Tosos and Gittin. But really, right? Really, his conclusion was something else. What was Rabbi Tam's conclusion? In as reported in Tosos Menachos, he says, no, there's never unique without a hole. Give me a break. That's ridiculous. There's no unique without a hole. Rather, what's the difference?
That unique doesn't work for exactly.
That, when it comes to eights, unique doesn't even work. Lo mahani neket. Even with the unique, it won't work. Right? But with cheres, a nekev helps. With cheres, if you have a nekev, then we'll have yanika. With eitz, even with a nekev, it's not enough to have yanika. And therefore, the sfina was a sfina in Menachos with a hole in it. If it's a sfina with a hole in it, why didn't it sink? So Tosfos assumes, no, when you pack dirt and grow things in the sfina, it could plug up the hole so well that it won't sink. Okay, you can try it at home if you want. I'm not taking personal responsibility. You can sue Rabbeinu Tam if you're both saints. Anyway, what was he going to say about our sugya? Basically, he'll say the same thing there. He'll have to make a chiddush that it's a spinad nekuva. He'll have to say our sugya is a holy ship, right? A holy boat.
Why do I want it sink? Oh, because like you plug up the hole really well with all the dirt and the roots maybe and whatever. Okay, let's hope that works. It's a sphina nekuba, and it would be a sphina nekuba shel cheres, where the hole helps in order to make it yomei. The fourth sheet does the raivid. I only know what fourth sheet does. Basically, the fourth sheet does the raivid. What did the raivid say? How does he interpret the Gemara Menachos?
They're both the same exact thing.
There's no difference whatsoever. They're both the same. If they have a hole, they have a hole. If not, not. There's no halachic difference. He's the only one that says there's no halachic difference in Eitz and Cheres. If there's no halachic difference in Eitz and Cheres, what did the Gemara mean in Menachos? Kamishal Eitz, Kamishal Cheres, Isaac? It meant that, well, let's think about it for a moment. If you had to drill a hole in your boat, would you rather be drilling in a boat of cheres or a boat of eights?
Eights.
That's what the Rambam says. He says, stam boat of cheres, you don't drill a hole in. Okay, he doesn't explain exactly 1,000,000%, but it seems to be a little risky to drill a hole in a boat of cheres, as opposed to a boat of eights, where you do, and his logic is, he says, why would anyone drill a hole in a boat? Like, why would you say to the derech, if you want to make a weirdo kemta, you can always make weirdo kemtas in Shas. That's how Shas works. But why would you say minastam? Exactly, that's what he says. He says, for the oars, that's what he says, the sphenichal eights be minastam they have for the mishotos, for the oars. The sphenichal cheres, a das lasos, if you drill a hole, anyone ever tried drilling a hole in your tiles in the wall? Right? It's always very risky. You end up cracking the whole tile. Right? You drill a hole in a piece of wood, you're not going to crack the whole piece of wood. Right? Sometimes you screw something in without a pilot hole. That might be a different story. You use a drill on a piece of wood, you'll make a hole exactly where it is, and every place else will be shelly. You drill a hole in a piece of cheres, if you're not exceedingly skilled, you will crack the whole tile. Right? That's the right thing. So, Tzarek Nekev, so what's the difference here? The difference is Tzarek Nekev, but in an eight, Umin Hastam, there is a Nekev, that was the difference. Umin Hastam, Ein Nekev. The difference just in Tzias. It was typical to have holes in a wooden boat for the oars and not in a cheres boat. Okay, you have to figure out, the holes have to be in a relevant place. Somehow, let's assume it worked out. And then in our sonya, he'll just say, our sonya is a sphina nekuba. Sphina with holes, it doesn't really matter what it's made of. Mistum is eights, because that's a more common minhag, right? Umin hastam, shall eights. Mistum, it's eights, because stam boats of wooden boats have holes, but it doesn't matter. The Icarus have a hole. Okay, let me just mention before we go on. One last shita, which is the shita of the Meiri, and the Gra thinks this is shita of the Rambam. The Meiri and the Gra thinks this is shita of the Rambam are similar to Rabbi Tam and our Tosfos. However, they say they just have one knich. This is the shita of the Meiri and the Gra, the Das Harambam. They say the same thing. Cheres always needs a nekev. And they say, yeah, eight is yonek even without a nekev. The only difference they say is because the Meiri doesn't seem to find this distinction in other sugyas and shas other than sphina. How come other than sphina we never heard there's a difference between eights and cheres? And the Gros says, the Rambam, how come the Rambam never differentiates any place? The Rambam really doesn't say anything. It's hard to tell what a Shita is. I have no idea what the Rambam's Shita is. He doesn't say anything at all about this. But he says, though, he says, only Sphina doesn't need a Nekev because of the water. Meaning, he says, I admit, if it was a flower, if it was not on water, eights would also need a nekev. If it's not on water, wood and the cheres would be the same. They would both need a nekev. It's only on water, because we're talking about sphina here, that wood doesn't need a nekev. Why? Because the water penetrates the wood and helps the yanika go through. while if it was not water, then the yunika wouldn't go through. Because the water can somehow permeate the wood better. Okay, since the same shita is Rina Tam, just to point out that while all the other shitas, Lachora would say the same thing about Otzitz, they say about Svina, the Meiri and the Grub and Dasa Rambam that I put in brackets, they say not only about Svina this is true, otherwise you always need a Nekev. Okay, those are the basic shitas.
For the Ravid, the Gemara Menachos brought two of the same Nachmina, just called it different things.
Exactly. Otzis, this is Nakav, there's not Nakav. Svina, also, there's Nakav, there's not Nakav. They just gave examples of why Svina would be Nakav or not. Correct. Now you can say that's Nakav, or you can say that we'll live with it.
For the Grah, for the Ramah within the Grah, you say that the requirement for Gosheshet by Svina kind of takes the place of, like, sort of Nekev for Svina? I guess also going to get you.
They wouldn't say that. Because they would say even a flower pot on the ground, if it's wood, needs a necker. Unlike what Rabbeinu Tam himself sounds like. It's only water. So whether Gosheshet or not, you have the water, but Gosheshet wouldn't make a difference. Okay, sweet.
For the Ravid, I guess I could be wrong about this, but the way I've always imagined the hole in the flower pot is at the hole in the bottom. That's what facilitates the unique.
Right, so that's the tricky part. For the Ravid, where is the hole in this boat? Obviously, the hole is in the wall of the boat. Like when we go on a canoe, the hole is not any place that would facilitate unique. Obviously, for the Ravid, you have to make an okimta that, you know, the boat is somewhat, whatever shape that is, the elliptical or something, and the hole is towards the side of the boat, but still under the dirt, right? Like, you fill it with dirt, and the oar hole happens to be under the dirt, but still on the side of the boat, and where you can steer. It's going to be tricky, but we'll have to work with it.
Is it possible to take hold in rather than a cracked
hole? No, I don't think so. No, because how could the oar hole be a bit clean?
The hole
in
the clean.
Give me a break.
It's mostly money.
Nah, I'm not Macabre. That's how it works. That's going too far. I hear the taiva, but it's going too far. I agree with your taiva, but I think you're going too far. I don't know if that makes you feel better. Okay, now, the Tosos now asks, okay, so these are the different shitas. You know, so far it's a little hard to tell, like, what's going on here. The Tosos asks a whole bunch of kashas on Rashi. Basically, Tosos tries to kill Rashi. Rashi says here that cheres, even without a hole, is still yonek. Tosa says, what do you mean? I have disproofs for you from all over the place, right? In various places of Shas, he brings varying numbers of proofs. One of them he brings here is, Kosol al-Kheret, the Gemara in Chaf Alpha and Beis, in Gittin. What does it say? If you write a get on the cheres of an otzitz nakov, then you give her the actual flower pot and it's kosher. But if you write it on the leaf growing in an otzitz nakov, then it's a machlokes. And everyone agrees, if you write it on the leaf of an otzitz nakov, cut off the leaf and give it to her, that's pasul midoraisa. Because that is writing, that is mechusar tzitza, between ksiva and sina, you need a kasav and nasam without cutting in the middle. So everyone agrees that if you have an otzitz nakov and you write it on the leaf and then you detach the leaf and give it to her, that is possible because you have detached it from the ground before you gave it to her. Now the Gemara there says otzitz nakov. And we know it's cheres because it starts with cheres of otzitz nakov. So here it's an otzitz of cheres, and yet the Gemara says only a problem if it's nakov. Why does the Gemara have to add the word nakov? Obviously, because that makes a halachic difference, right? So we see even cheres is only considered attached to the ground if it's nakov. That is one of the many kashas that Tosos asks on Rashi. So let's just see this kasha, right? What is the kasha on Rashi? That in Gittin, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, we see it's talking about an otzis shel cheres. Right, because it says explicitly, Kosov al Cheres Shalatz is not good, and Kosov al Allah Shalatz is not good. So it's clearly Cheres, and it's only considered Mechobar because it is Nakov. Right, because it says the word Nakov. So that is Tosis's first Kasha on Rashi. Then he quotes from the Tosefta and Shvius, that if you want to loaf, it's some sort of onion-like thing. you want to hide it during Shvius, you put it in Otzitz, Besat Vichli Cheres, so we see Stam Otzitz is Cheres, okay, that's not such good proof, who says that's Stam? Okay, the other Rishonim and Tosfos in other places, so other Kashas on Rashi that are similar, we don't have to go through all the Kashas. He finds many places in Shas where it seems that even Cheres needs to be Nakov in order to be considered Mechover. So the question is, how do you defend Rashi?
First of all, who says Mechuber and Yonek are the same thing?
Exactly, just like we saw last time for Moshe Salvinchik. It's not the same Shita, it's just the same Yisod, the same Chilak applied differently. Right? Who gives the brisker Lundish answer that the Gedder of Yonika and Gedule Karka is not the same as the Gedder of Mechuber? Who gives that brisker Lundish answer? The Ramban. Maybe some of these people also, but this is the Ramban, this is Mefurish Ramban. The Ramban is a brisker here. What did the Ramban say? First, he quotes the Rav Abdesdin that we haven't mentioned yet. Okay, let's go in order. So, I really thought I printed out the Ramban here someplace. Hold on. I know Morton did, but I thought I did also. Sorry. Give me a second, just leaf through my papers and look for the Ramban. And here it is. Oh, I also had a quote. Okay, the Ramban asked this question, right? The Ramban says, the Ramban says, Farkas after Shirashi Zal, Perish Mesha Amr Perakam, offer of a Sina Shivasina Shal Keratin, certainly not gave, after Shinakam Shamu Shal Aids. Vizoshmu Kashalav, right? The Yesh Amr Avgab, the Yer Maestros of us, Bikur and Loba, Yer Nako, Vishal Keris, Kedamir Mimnachos, Miu Enu Mechober, Eloba Atsit Nakov. Shani Hassan, the Hoshi Yonik, Mafriach, Mer Hadama, Chayv Maestros, Roy, the Krosol of Min Hadama, Shari Yesh Ladama, Vatsis, Vadami Lomata, Vain Bin Vino Chotzis. Well, ain't a mechubra aji hey knockov. Okay, that is very, very explicit. Says the first answer is the Ramban. Says the Ramban, he says a brisker chelak. He says there's two different gedarim. There's mechubra. What's the nafkamina mechubra? The nafkamina mechubra, as most shelters have pointed out, is Toma Patara, for example, depends on mechubra. And one thing for sure, get depends on mechubra. The soul of writing some a get and then detaching it only applies to mechuber. Only applies to mechuber. Again, we're assuming that, that's a whole subject later on, we haven't gotten to yet. So, therefore, says the Ramban that, no. To be mechuber, even cheres needs a nekev. To be mechuber, you need actual chibur with nothing, with no hefsik in between. You need a hole in order to be mechuber. Everyone needs to be mechuber, you need a hole. Therefore, this Gemara in Gittin, which is talking about the psul of get be mechuber, it's only psul of get be mechuber if you have a hole. Or Tosfos quotes Gemara in Shabbos, le'inyan, that it should be considered mechuber, so it's not makabel tumah, that's only if it has a hole. But Rashi's not dealing with mechuber. To be Yomeg min hakarka, meaning to be gudule karka, then cheres doesn't need a hole, doesn't need a nekev, because the yanika goes through. The yanika goes through cheres. That means it's gudule karka, le'inya bikurim, which is gnachos, le'inya meister and shvias, which is our sugya. Yeah, le'inya bikurim, meister and shvias. Cheres left through the niki even without a hole, it's considered gedule karka. But that doesn't mean it's considered mechuber lekarka. To be mechuber lekarka, you need a hole. And therefore, there's no steer in Rashi. And you could look in some of the Rishonim here, they bring like 3, 4, 5 sugyas against Rashi. All those are talking about mechuber. None of them are talking about mitzvah kluyas ba'aretz. And therefore, no problem. Rashi, based on the brisker chiluk, he has an answer. Okay.
The Bikurim is a little more complicated. Bikurim might need
Pre-Hadama. They have to be Gadol min Hadama. They don't have to be Mechuber la-Hadama. They just have to be Gadol min Hadama. Pre-Hadama. Pre-Hadama is something that grows from the ground. Doesn't mean something that is attached to the ground. You can say whatever you want, but Pashup Shat never says Bikurim has to be attached to the ground. I know you can make up Svar if you want, but it just says it grew from the ground. It grew from the ground because the Anika went through the Cheres. Doesn't bother me. Now, there are some other answers as well. The Chassam Sofer, I put a few answer brackets. We're not going to go over all of them because some of them are very complicated. We'll pull them. Generally, the more years that have gone by, you know, since Ravina or Vashi, the more complicated the Pulpulim are. So the 20th century Achronim, if you get a chance to look at, fine. If not, not. The Chassam Sofer here gives a different chiluk, and he's based on a diuk in Rashi here. What does the Chassam Sofer say? And it could be. What does the Chassam Sofer say? Offer chotzar sabav v'sfina la'aretz, v'zar zro v'sfina, v'tzamach, v'sfina shal cheres hi, v'eina tzrich linok evim haysa munachas b'karka. The Amr b'nachos. If it would be munach b'karka, it wouldn't need an ekev. Now, why does Rashi say if it would be munach b'karka? So it could be saying, like, without getting into Rav Yehuda and the Chacham and everyone else here, if it would be on the ground, it wouldn't be an ekev. What if it would be off the ground? Okay, then you have to get into all the machlokos in our sugya. Maybe that's what he means. But what the Chassam Sofer in the Daik in Rashi is he says, no, you can answer up the stiras by saying there are two different cases, although he has to make a bit of an okimta. I admit he has to make an okimta. Right? What does he say? He says, if the atzitz is on the ground, and he might have to assume that water counts as ground for this purpose, then cheres doesn't need a neker. If atzitz is, you know, off the ground, you know, in the air, then even cheres needs a nekev. You want to know if it lets the anika through? Well, if we're willing to assume in the first place, which most of you shouldn't assume, do you remember, against the Rambam and the Meiri, which were both complicated, that there's anika even through the air? He says, very positive, practical. Anika through the air, you need a hole for. You need a hole for anika through the air. If it's on the ground, the anika can go through without a hole, but if it's in the air, you need a hole. Okay, that's, and he's based on Diak and Arashi, who says, okay, now the only thing is he has to make a bunch of okimtas. What is the okimta he has to make? So he has to assume, he has to make an okimta that Gittin is a case of an atzitz on stilts. Right? He has to assume. In that case, it needs a hole because it's on stilts. It could be. Right? It just doesn't say that anywhere. That's an assumption that he has to make. Okay. Excuse me. He has to make that assumption. He also makes the assumption that in our case, it is on the ground. In our case, it's not necessarily on the ground, because that's machlok, because we hood in the Chacham, and according to the Chacham, it's even off the ground. So he has to make the assumption. He has to assume that for this purpose, water counts as ground. Right? Yeah, that was two deis. That was the two lashonos of Rava going from Zion and Beis Chesem and Aleph, whether water is respect the dam here or not. So he has to assume that for this purpose, the water counts as the ground. Therefore, a boat is always either on the riverbed or in the water and doesn't need a hole, while something in the air does need a hole. And every Ditin Chaval and Beis and every other sugi which says Cheres needs a hole is only talking if it's on stilts above the ground. It could be, but it's an okimta. You understand why the Rishonim didn't say this, because you don't necessarily want to have to make, you know, this is not so bad an assumption, but there's okimta that, where did it say in Gittin Chafam Beis it was off the ground? You have to make that okimta. Okay, big okimta. The third thing I'm going to mention is very difficult, but it's a Rishon. The Ramban. The Ramban continues, and he quotes, Rav Av Bezdin Zal Kasav. He quotes something from the Rav Av Bezdin Zal. Who's the Rav Av Bezdin Zal? What? Not the Ravid we know and love. The father-in-law of the Ravid. The author of the Sefer HaEshkol. So, the Rav of Bezdin Zal Kosav, although just to be fair, in general, you're so between the Rav of Bezdin Zal and the Ravid, and if they wrote Ravid, who they meant, they're often messed up, so you can never be sure 100%. But Menestam, we assume Rav of Bezdin doesn't mean the Ravid. Bal HaSagos means his father-in-law, the author of the Sefer HaEshkol. So the Ravid Zal Kosav. That is the chiluk of the Rav Av Bezdin Zal. Says the Rav Av Bezdin. He says, no, it's different. Svina, which is eina mitaltel, right? Svina, you don't carry it around. Therefore, cheres doesn't need a nekev. However, an atzitz, which is mitaltel, right, also the taltel, right, then even cheres needs a nekev. And that's his Yashav Rashi. Rashi only said it by Sfina. Rashi only said it by Sfina. Because Sfina doesn't move. So that doesn't need a nekev tzcheres. But by atzitz, which moves, which you move, then Rashi admits that even cheres needs a nekev. You know, because if it doesn't move, then it's easier to get the unika than if it does move. Okay, this sounds good at first. You know, yeah, something that doesn't move, so the unika will go through the cheres even without a hole. But something that moves a lot, the unika is not going to go through without a hole. Okay, it's a little funny, like, just as it does move, like, what if you leave it in place for 3 years? Okay, it's a little funny, but what's more funny about it? That, of course, a sphena moves a lot more than an atzitz. Adraba. The atzitz, you can put down and leave in place for years if you want. The sphena is always moving, right? As a matter of fact, that's what our Gemara says, right? In the first lashon of Rava, sphena is different. It's also the vrach. So, ma pitom, our Gemara says, sphena is also the vrach. It's less connected to the ground. He's saying, sphena doesn't move. What do you mean sphena doesn't move? So the Rambanim, kashuli, sphena navi asuyil vrach yosemi atzis. Why do you use the word that asuyil vrach? He's referring to our sugya. Sphena moves more than atzis. What is this Rabbi Bezdin talking about? Give me a second. The lekalamim should the mykars then. Don't say the sphena is not considered to move because it's on the water. Maybe that's what he meant. Sphena is not considered to move because it's on the water. Darzera, less lay half svara damar atzis nakavod because Darzera doesn't hold from that svara. Okay, and then in the end, he rejects Rashi entirely and goes back to Rebbeinu Tam. Personally, the Ramban holds like Rebbeinu Tam. This is just a defense of Rashi. But he has a lot of trouble. What does the Rabbah Bezdin mean that Sfina, doesn't move? So he says, B'docha, maybe you could suggest, but it's a problem, because then this is against Reb Zeira and some Amoraim. Right? That maybe means the sphena is always in the water, so the water like attaches it more. Obviously, this would be a little reminiscent of the Me'iri and the Gra, but it's still a little funny. Like, who says that Otzis is going to move? You know, it's a little funny. What's the svar of the Rav Bezdin? So again, if you wanted to be Nidchak, you could say the sphena is considered like it doesn't move because it's touching the water, which is touching the ground all the time. Although that's a very funny way for him to say it. And the atzitz, even if you leave it in place, it's considered to move because you could move it. Which, again, is a little funny. Like, who cares that I could move it? Either there's unique or there isn't. So you see how the Rav Bezdin is very dochuk. So, what does Svi want to say for the Rav Bezdin?
It's a technical then, not a practical.
Svi wants to say for the Rabbah Bezdin, maybe everyone else here has been talking about, is there unika, is there not unika? Maybe the Rabbah Bezdin is not about unika or not unika, but obviously inspired by the end of that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik piece. What is he trying to say? When he says, the atzitz moves and the sphena doesn't move. I think what he's trying to say maybe is this. Okay, here. Mitaltel, also the taltel. You know, well, metaltelin is of course the opposite of karka. An atzitz is a kli that's metaltel that moves. Right? It's a kli that's metaltel that moves. A kli that's metaltel that moves is a formal hefsek from the karka. Metaltelin is not karka. Does not integrate with the karka. On the other hand, however, a sphena, I know the sphena moves all the time, but it's not metaltelin. You can't carry a sphena. Who cares that you can't carry it? You can't carry the sphena. The sphena is not a kli, right? A sphena is more of an ohel than a kli. A sphena, now we know sphena is not in Kabbal Toma, that's right, or Yehuda Darshan in the ninth parak of Masechah Shabbos, that sphena is automatically not in Kabbal Toma. Maybe the point is, a sphena is not a kli, something separate from the karka. A sphena is a type of structure that integrates with the karka.
Is it Domo Sak? Is Joshua Domo Sak at the Mentara?
The truth is, this depends on Machlok Tanaim in the ninth paragraph of Shabbos, whether every sphena is not in Kabbal Toma, because it's Xeris Kasav Derech Ania Belev Yom, my Yom ain't in Kabbal Toma, Afania in Kabbal Toma, or you're thinking of the Bor Sphena Alexandros, right? Machzika, Karayim Be Yavish, which is 40 Sabalach.
which is maybe because it's very big, which is what he meant by Dumi Dasak. But either way, a Sfina, he's assuming the Sfina is not metalto, right? The Sfina is not considered metalto, it's not considered Kli. What did Ramosh Salvechik say? Ramosh Salvechik was talking about a different context. He was talking about Toma Batara. He was not talking about Zoran. Ramosh Salvechik said that he's been dying to the Rambam, the end of the piece. He says, a Kli with a hole in it, that's considered Mechobel the Karka, because once it loses its Shalosh Shem Kli, it's not Mastik from the Karka, you know, it's just part of the ground. A flat Kli is considered Mechobel the Karka, because since it doesn't have a base kibble, it's not a Kli, and therefore it's considered part of the ground. Meaning, perhaps what you can say for the Rav of Bezdin, here you can take the Rav of Bezdin in two ways. You could say he is dealing with Yanika, you could say he's talking about Yanika, and then it gets very dochuk. Then it gets very dochuk. Or maybe you could say, it doesn't become dochuk, it just becomes mechudish. Maybe you could say he's talking about formal seiruf to karka. I don't think it's dochuk at all, but it's very mechudish, and it's not what is generally assumed by the Rishonim v'Achronim. Maybe the way he's defending Rashi is this. The way he's defending Rashi is he's saying that, what does Rashi think? Why does Rashi, let's go back to what someone was going to say before, maybe it's Mori was going to say before, no, what Tzvi was going to say before. Who says that, Mori says, or someone says, okay, I'm not quoting names. I don't remember anymore by now. When I was about half hour younger, someone said that, I recall someone saying that Rashi and Rabbi Tam are arguing about Metzias, just what is more unique and what is less unique. Could be, you know, if we have to live with that, we live with that. But maybe you could take a totally different way of looking at Rashi. And I know this is a Chiddush, this is not the conventional way of looking at Rashi. Maybe though, yes?
Maybe that's what he understands Rashi to mean in the Nachas, the Shem, the Shel Eretz.
Exactly. Maybe when Rashi says Shel Eretz, he means that Min Benino Eino Chotze, it's not in terms of practical Yanika. Min Benino Eino Chotze, meaning you can integrate more with the ground. If you put a Kli Eitz on the ground, the Kli Eitz is so clearly different from the ground that it's Mafsik, the Chibur Lekarka. If you put a Kli Cheres on the ground, Kli Cheres is ground, is dirt. It was just baked a little. And therefore, the Kli Cheres becomes part of the ground. Right? Yoshev Ofer Elo Ofer. Right? Ultimately, what's made of offer can be Yoshev offer and become part of the ground once again. Okay, good muster for all of us. Maybe you could say, meaning, the conventional way of understanding is that the CW, that meant conventional wisdom when I was a kid. Nowadays, I don't know, they have different Russian cables. What? CW is a television network? Not in my lifetime. The conventional wisdom is, and therefore, it's yonik. Because the min adama, so the yonika goes from adama to adama more easily. But maybe you could say, and this is a mechudish understanding, no, Rashi's not arguing that you're talking about metzias. He's saying, I'm not interested in what's yonik, what's not yonik. I'm interested in what's, he says, you know what? Something's growing in this atzitz. It's yonik from the dirt it's growing in. I'm not worried about you. It's yonik from the dirt it's growing in. I just want to know, is the dirt it's growing in attached to the ground, or is the dirt it's growing in disattached from the ground? What the dirt it's growing in is attached to the ground, yeah, it's yonik from dirt that's attached to the ground. It doesn't have to be yonik from the ground. It just has to be yonik from soil that's considered mitzurf to the ground. So he says, the mechudish is therefore, min bemino eno chotzeitz, min bemino eno chotzeitz, meaning it's considered part of the aretz, as Rashi says, they're mina aretz, and if that's the right way to read Rashi, minachos. And then the Rav of Bezdin would make a lot of sense. What's the Rav of Bezdin saying? Rashi has the shita that he's not looking at Yanika. That's when Tom's looking at Yanika. Rashi's looking at this. What Tzvi wanted to say half hour ago, right, Tzvi? Rashi's not looking at Yanika. He's looking at whether it's considered attached to the ground or not considered attached to the ground, whether it's formally part of the aretz or not formally part of the aretz. What does Rashi say? Well, a wood is formally part of the aretz if it has no hole. A wood is disattached to the aretz if it has no hole, because it's a separate thing. However, cheres, which is just made of dirt anyway, even if it has no hole, is still part of the aretz. And then says the Rav of Bezdin, you know what? It might depend what kind of cheres. A cheres that's a kli that's metaltel, even though it's made from the same materials as the soil, is a kli, is a separate kli, is a different chalos. Therefore, only if it gets a hole, it's considered attached. And maybe if it gets a hole, it's considered attached because it's no longer a kli. Which what? But a sphena, which is not a kli, which is a structure, a structure which is not a kli that's metaltel, even though it's moving, but once it's not a kli that's metaltel, therefore it is considered part of the. A structure can be integrated with the earth, and therefore, since it's min aretz, it's still connected to the earth. Maybe that's shot in the Rav Abezdin. He's not talking about but talking about tziruf the karka, and talking about whether it has a haloshem kli or a haloshem of a structure. Structures can integrate into the karka more easily than kalim. If so, you could take this whole sugya from the beginning to the end and look at it differently. Maybe there's no yinika through the air at all. Maybe our gemara is not discussing yinika through the air at all. Maybe none of these gemaras are about yinika. These gemaras are all about formal tziruf. The gemara is asking, if something that's in the air can still be considered mitzuruf to the karka, or can it not be considered mitzuruf to the karka? And that's what they're asking. And the whole idea of a hole might be, not just if there's a hole, does the yinika get through the hole? But if there's a hole, then do we say, well, it's not a kli anymore, because if it has a hole in it, then it's not a kli, then it's just stam building materials, and if it's stam building materials, then it can integrate into the dirt. Again, many achronim say, le'inyan mitzvah kli v'art depends on yinika. Le'inyan tovah v'tara and get them chubber and other things, that depends on formal tziruf to the dirt. That's what the Ramban said, to the ground. What I'm saying is maybe the Rabbi Bezin says something more radical, even le'inyan mitzvah kli v'art depends on formally being mitzuruf to the aretz, and not on yinika, and that is a little radical, but maybe you could find a smock for this in the Rav Avedin.
Tzvi. We were talking about last week about roots making a difference, roots getting through the flower pot, so Rebbe would say the same thing, that the roots getting through is not a question of yinika, that's also a question of thinking about the same thing and showing that it's
quite possibly, yes. Now, I know this is all the Chodesh, but I think you could. Okay, so that's what we have to say, I think, about this sugya. We've seen the four shikas of Menachos, how they apply here. And to answer the Kashan Rashi, the Chacham Soberg is a very technical answer, super technical answer, which makes some Mukimtas. The Ramban is a super lumdish answer, says there's two realms. In the realm of Yanika and Mitzvot, Pli Paritz depend on Yanika. And that's what Rashi's talking about. Other things depend on the getter of Chibur, and that's more formal, and that's not what Rashi's talking about. And what we want to suggest to the Rav Avedin is that, no, even Mitzvot Pli Paritz depend on the formal getter of Chibur. And the difference in Eitz and Cheres is really about formal integration into the ground, and that's why there's different between a structure and a kli, and perhaps even the idea of a hole is just to be mivatel l'shem kli and for integration to the ground, and that would give us a new way of looking at all these sugyas. Okay, we're now I think we're now ready to move on. Let me just make very clear to illustrate the difference in this Machodesh idea and this Ramban / Rav Moshe Soloveitchik idea, the Ramban, which equals the ground, the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik that we saw last time, say, mitzvos hatluyos va'aretz depend on yinika, right? Tuma, etc., depend on formal chibur. What our Mechudesh idea in Rashi, the Perish HaMechudesh in Rashi, which might be what the Rav Bezin has in mind, although it's hard to tell, says no. Even mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz depend on formal chibur, and none of the Gemaras are discussing Yanika. They're all discussing formal chibur, and when Rashi differentiates between the Sfinishal Eitz and Shil Acheres, Leinian Meister, Shviz and Bikurim, he's not discussing Yanika like everyone else thinks, but he's discussing the formal chibur, and he's discussing the idea that things that are made of aretz can integrate into the aretz, and then the Rav Bezdin would make sense that he says, well, that depends if they're structures or they are kalim.
If it's not a din in yinika anymore, I understand why cheres is like more. You'd connect it more to the ground because it is ground. Mm-hmm. But why is eight so like trees grow out of the ground? Why would a klisha eight sitting on the ground be like? It's impossible to consider it to be connected to the ground.
Because
don't know, it's intuitive to me. Wood, if it grows from the ground, that's a different story. But wood that doesn't grow from the ground is not part of the ground. You know, once you cut a tree, that's not part. Once you
this piece of dirt was part of the ground,
and hold it, everyone knows. If you cut a tree down and then you throw it on the floor, that's no longer part of the ground. If you pick up a wheelbarrow full of dirt and throw it back on the floor, that is now part of the ground.
If I take a clay jug.
The finish is just, if you bake it first, then we'll say the same thing. Okay. We'll leave it for now. And I'm ready to go Viker when you get a chance. Okay, continuing the Gemara. Now we're ready to move on. Where are we ready to move on to? Briefly, everyone agrees for rivers in Israel, you don't need to say funny nafta. They are in Israel. They're only arguing at the Mediterranean Sea. A boat in the Mediterranean Sea. That's the steer between the two brises. And how to resolve the steer between the two brises? It's machlokas tanar about the status of the Mediterranean Sea. Where do we see machlokas tanar about the status of the Mediterranean Sea? The Tanya Izawa Eretz Vizawa Chutz Laretz. Okay, so that's Turei Amnon is a borderline of Eretz Yisrael on the land. How about the islands at sea? Hanasin Shabayan? Ronosom Kilu Chut Matochle Mitori Amnon Yanach Mitzrayim. You draw an imaginary line from Turei Amnon to Nach Mitzrayim. Minachot Lefnim Eretz Yisrael, Minachot Lachot, Chutz Laretz. Within that Chut is Eretz Yisrael, outside that Chut is Chutz Laretz. Rabbi Yehuda Amr, no. Kol Shabin Kenegat Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael. Anything west of Israel is Israel. Shinemar Gvul Yam Vayalachem Ayam Agdol Gvul Zay Yalachem Gvul Yam. All those extra Lashonos, we see this Pasuk has many extra Lashonos, include anything west of Israel. V'anasin Shabit Stadim Ronos Son, how about the ones on the side? So we see Kilu Chut Matochalemi Kafloria Vayayam Okyanus. You draw an imaginary line westward from Kafloria until the Atlantic. V'minachman Tzorim Yam Okyanus. And from Nachman Tzorim until the Atlantic. V'nachut L'chnim Eretz Yisrael, inside the line is Eretz Yisrael. V'nachut L'chot Zchot Zlaretz. Okay, Rabban Haigvol Mayavle. What do they do with the extra word Gvol? Rightly, the Nasim. They need it for the ones inside the narrow line. Rabbi Yehuda Nasim Tzorcha. No, you don't even need it. It's obvious the ones inside the narrow line count the territorial waters. You need the Gvol for the ones in these broader lines. Where are these lines? I'm not going to get into geography too much. Maybe we'll point out that Rabbi Petter was not a buck in geography. Let's just. You remember my caveat from last time. I drew territory. Although this time it's going to be more important to get it right. It's not that I'm anti-Zionist. I'm not good at drawing. So here is Eretz Yisrael. Let's draw Eretz Yisrael. Let's start with everyone but the Rambam, right? Here is Eretz Yisrael. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. Yam HaGadol. Okay. That is the closest I've come so far. Okay, what is the machlokes in the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda? According to everyone but the Rambam, this is Turei Amnon, and here is Nachal Mitzrayim. Obviously, Nachal Mitzrayim is Lola, but here's the end of Nachal Mitzrayim. So what's the machlokes? Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, draw a line like this. Right? From Turei Amnon to Nachal Mitzrayim. Whatever's inside that line is Israel, because Taken is within the polygon of Israel. And whatever's outside that line is Chutz Laretz. What does Rabbi Yehuda do? Rabbi Yehuda draws the line from Kafloria, draws lines like this. Here, we'll give Rabbi Yehuda's own color. Right? He draws lines westward from the two corners till the ocean, till the Atlantic, the Okeanos. And whatever's within those lines is Israel.
Where does it maybe converge?
What?
Does it converge?
No, why should it converge? He draws them to. He does. I don't think he converges. I think they go straight.
I remember Rabbi Shulam from Rabbi Shimon that asked why didn't we stand? Why don't we map?
That's an artosis.
No, but the thing is that the line has to go the other way.
No, give me a second. Okay, take my word for it for now. You can argue later if you want. Okay, whatever's in here, you understand. According to this, like Cyprus should the horror be Israel, right?
No, it's not.
It's not? It doesn't work?
Cyprus is further north.
Oh, it is? Okay, fine. But there's got to be something. Yeah. Meaning, you understand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the territorial waters of Israel are very, very large. Meaning, you know, you never know. Meaning, Turkey could send a warship over that. I know, that's what I meant. Sorry. I was too subtle. I didn't think I was. But anyway, my turn. Anyway, so you see, Turkey's not sending any warships for the Chachamim. Only Rabbi Yehuda is belligerent. So, this is the standard understanding. Now, one thing's a little tricky that Tosos deals with. How come Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say from Turi Amnon West and from Nachum Turi West? Why does it say Kafloria? So that's a little bit tricky. Why he says Kafloria, and Rashi does not have a great answer. Tosos says, because, you know, Tosos is not so clear, Tosos Rashi is clearer, just a technical point. Turi Amnon might be Turei Amnon, a mountain range that goes north to the south and slopes east and slopes west. So it's a good place for demarcating the eastern western, the western border. But it's not a good place for demarcating the northern border, because Turei Amnon, they go a kilometer north and a kilometer south. How do you know we're on Turei Amnon's northern border? So the Chacham wants the western border. They pick Turei Amnon. But Yehuda wants the northern border. He picked Kafloria, and the Tos Russian says Kafloria is one of the hilltops of Turei Amnon. Just you know exactly how far north it is. Okay, so we get it to work out. That's the focus. The Rambam says something funny in that picture the Rambam has in Hilchos Trumos is different than all the other Rishonim in this entire sugya. I'm not sure why, and it's a little tricky. The Rambam puts Turei Amnon in a completely different place, right? What are the odds I can draw this again? Let's see. Okay, good enough. Here is the Rambam. What if the Rambam's finished? The Rambam says, here is Nachal Mitzrayim, but here is Turei Amnon. He has a different word for it, but it's a different gear set, exactly what it's called. He puts Turei Amnon and Nachal Mitzrayim both in the south. Now, at this point, it's not exactly clear what he means, right? What exactly does... Now, by the way, for him, it's clear why Rabbi Yehuda mentions Kafloria, not Turei Amnon. Rabbi Yehuda means something in the north, right? For the Rambam, it's abundantly clear why Rabbi Yehuda changes from Turei Amnon to Kafloria. Turei Amnon and Nachal Mitzrayim are both in the south. He's not going to get much territorial waters, right? So, Rabbi Yehuda is the same for him. Rabbi Yehuda is the exact same for the Rambam as for everyone else. But the Chachamim are clearly different from the Rambam. You draw a line from Turei Amnon to Nachal Mitzrayim. Whatever's in the line is in, whatever's out of the line is out. Here it's not so clear. Like, here's the line of the Chachamim from Turei Amnon to Nachal Mitzrayim. But what exactly do you mean by that? What are the territorial waters? So, it's a little hard to tell. What I think he means is, this is what I think the Rambam means, okay, is that for the Chachamim, you get this box. That's what I think he means. You draw a line from Turei Amnon to Nachal Mitzrayim. Whatever's in that line, in the line meaning from here to there, is part of Israel. And whatever's outside the line over here is not part of Israel. I think that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam doesn't say what he means. He just quotes the Lashon of Gemara and gives a different map, putting Turei Amnon or Samnos, he calls it, a different place. Okay, that's what I think the Rambam means. One thing, we understand why Kafloria needed to come into here.
What does all that have to do with?
Because they say draw a line from here, whatever's in the line. What do you mean whatever's in the line?
But since when did the Chachamim recognize Kafloria?
You have a better shot? Yes, Jake, you have a better shot.
No. So Turei Amnon isn't really necessary. You just need
the suggestion.
Yeah?
It could be meaning that you draw a series of tangent lines so that it straightens it out. Like you have series of straight lines instead of this curve.
You mean going all the way up the coast?
I don't know why Turei Amnon is at that point.
Yeah, it's reading a lot into it. And then, yeah. Like, how do you know how finely to draw the tangent lines? Because obviously the limit is just the coast.
I don't make the news.
Right. Okay, anyway, the Rambam is strange. Here's my one suggestion of the Rambam. I can't say I'm sure what the Rambam held, and we're going to move on. Agav, I'll just point out something a little picante. How do you say that in English?
Picante.
Okay.
Curious.
curious. Yeah, that Rabbeinu Petter, the Rabbeinu Petter asked Rabbeinu Tam in our Tosfos. He says, "Okay, we live in France. In France, which way do we daven? East, because Israel is to our east. So we are west of Israel. If we are west of Israel, then why aren't we chayiv in Trumas or Maisers according to Rabbi Yehuda? Why aren't we chayiv in Trumas or Maisers according to Rabbi Yehuda? After all, we're west of Israel." So, in our Tosos, Rabbi Yehuda gives the three answers. His first answer is that, Taka, we are chayiv in Trumas or Maisers according to Rabbi Yehuda, but we pass like the Chachamim, so it's okay. The second answer is that, no, that's part of Eretz Yisrael, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, but it's only chayiv in Trumas or Maisers if you have Kibush or Chazaka, right? If Ole Bavel settled there, right? So we go by Ole Bavel, and Ole Bavel didn't settle France, that's clear. I mean, theoretically we're part of Israel, but Ole Bavel, we're never Makadish France.
Did
the third answer he gives.
What?
No, he just says it doesn't matter. Like, that's not relevant. Yeah. Obviously, Ole Bavel also didn't conquer France. The third answer he says is, this is a lot more commonsensical answer. He says, based on the Diak and Rashi, he says, they're only arguing about islands, not about continents. France is on a continent. Obviously, a continent can't be called territorial waters of Israel. Only islands can. And France is not an island. In the Tosfos Rush, he brings a fourth answer, which is that France is not actually west of Israel. That even though in France we daven eastwards, it's actually northwest of Israel, and therefore it's no problem. What?
It's clearly
northwest. It's not even close. But it's interesting. You know that because you live in the 21st century, and you have maps. If you lived in the days of Rabbeinu Petter, how are you supposed to know that France is not due west from Israel? You daven east. You grew up in Cheder, and your Rebbe told you to daven eastwards because Israel is toward east.
The hat?
Okay. I don't know who had. Anyway, Lamaisa, Tosus on the Daf does not give the fourth answer. Only Tosus Rus gives the fourth answer that France is not actually west of Israel. You want to say that no, really, it was not a silly question. Really, they had funny lines. Okay, I'll leave that to you.
And the children are in time, it doesn't be, it brings Rebbeinu Meshulam.
Yeah? Okay.
And it doesn't bring the fourth there.
So. Really? So I think it's very strange. Okay. In any case, I'll assume that the third answer is, I mean, all the answers are probably good. It's probably true that it's only islands and not continents. But it's even more true that France is not west of Israel. Although Spain, Taka, could have been a kasha. Spain could have been a good question. Parts of Spain are due west of Israel.
Gibraltar,
where's
Gibraltar?
There.
Muslim Spain.
Right. Parts of Spain are not due west of Israel? Here we are. Yeah, I have no idea what this illustration means, but let's hope. Okay,
well, some places that
doesn't matter. If not Spain, then Morocco. Seder. Right? Either Spain or Morocco has to be due west of Israel. Right? That you can't argue with.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you would have to give one of the first three answers. Still apart from Trumas and Maestros.
But any the islands off of Morocco, according to that, one of those answers, any islands off of Morocco.
That's true. Any islands? Isn't Gibraltar an island? Isn't there an island?
No.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
There's an island in Gibraltar.
Yes.
Yeah. You people incorporate there. I don't know if anyone lives there, but everyone incorporates there.
Why doesn't the line have to go like this? Why can't it go like that?
Because England never self. How do you know? No, because how do you know which way to? Once you're drawing a not due west, you could draw any direction you want. That's ridiculous.
You know what's obviously talking about Kafrisin. That's the only place there was a Jewish settlement.
I don't know if he was talking about any place. He's talking theoretically.
So he has to meet the
Okeanos,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Now you can meet the Okeanos going in various directions.
That instruction,
no? I mean, it has to go through Gibraltar.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, Yesh La'ayin, we'll leave this for now and go weiter. Says the Gemara. Rav Meir Omar, Ako Ke'eretz Yisrael V'chuli. Bo Minayim Rav Chia Bar Abba. Hamokar Abdul Asuria Kamokar V'chotz La'aretz Tomi Olo. We know if you sell your Eved to Chotz La'aretz, he goes free. You're not allowed to sell your Eved to Chutz La'aretz, and if you do, then as a Knas, he goes free. What if you sell him to Surya? I'm related to Nisua. Rav Meir Omar, Ako Ke'eretz Yisrael L'Gittin. Rav Meir says in our Mishnah, Ako Ke'eretz Yisrael L'Gittin. Why does he have to add the word L'Gittin? We're in the Sechus Gittin. Obviously, we know that's what he's talking about. Must be for a deal. L'Gittin in L'Avodim Lo, for Gittin, Ako counts like Eretz Yisrael according to Rav Meir. Not the Tanakam, Rav Meir. But for Avodim Lo, the Kolshin Surya de Merkat Tuvin, for sure Surya, which is further than Akko, for sure counts as Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, if you sell your Eved to Surya, he goes free. And that segues into
a discussion of Surya, Tana Rabban, Vishlosha Drachim Shavsa Surya Eretz Yisrael, Vishlosha Leh Chutz La'aretz. What are the three ways like Eretz Yisrael, three ways like Chutz La'aretz? Afra Tamei Kechutz La'aretz. Right, the offer is Tamei like Chutz La'aretz, Va'amokar Abel Surya Kemokar B'Chutz La'aretz, that's how we segue into this. Va'amei get me Surya Kemei Mi Chutz La'aretz. Okay, if you bring a get from Surya, then that was clearly implied earlier. We said Kolshi in Surya is worse than Akko, so if you bring a get from Akko, according to the Chachamim, you have to say funny after funny after, like Chutzart, and bringing it up from Surya, it's certainly like Chutzart. What three ways like Eretzal? Chayevitz Meister Shes Eretzal. It's Chayim Nisa Tluis for Eretz, like Israel. For a road to the Kanis for Retara Nichnas, and if you want to go in and be Tohar, you can, even though the dirt is tummy, the airspace is not tummy. Vakonet Soda with Surya, Kikone, Beparvare, Yerushalayim. And if you buy a field in Surya, it's a mitzvah like buying in the suburbs of Yerushalayim. Chayevitz, now, why are these things true? Chayevitz b'maiser v'shviyas k'eretz Yisrael. Why does it say it's chayev b'maiser v'shviyas like Eretz Yisrael? Because sarva kibush yachid shmei kibush. Because Surya is kibush yachid. Right? Who conquered Surya? David HaMelech conquered Surya. And this is a kibush yachid. Okay, exactly what kibush yachid means we're not sure yet, but Rashi gives the simplest pshat. He says he wasn't with all the Jewish people. It was just his personal mission. Unlike Yehoshua ben Nun, etc., who conquered it with the Jewish people on behalf of the Jewish people, David, this is his personal endeavor, and therefore it's kibush yachid, and it's a machlokas, but it's kibush yachid of a Jew, right? So if a Jew does kibush yachid, that counts as kibush to make something Eretz Yisrael or not, right? Valid question. On the one hand, he's a Jew, and the other, he's not the whole Jewish people. So our brisa must hold that kibush yachid is made kibush, and therefore it has kibush Eretz Yisrael, and that's why it's chayim mitzvah tluyis for Eretz. How could you say you go in Batara if the dirt is tummy? If you go in a container, okay, we won't define yet exactly whether this container is open or closed, etc., but you go in a container and you don't touch the dirt, then you can still be Tahar. That if you go into Chutzlar, it's Mamish, Eretz Amim, even in a container, Rebbe says you're tummy, and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda says you're Tahar. Rebbe is only matami in Eretz Amim because they were gozer on the gush, on the piece of dirt, and on the airspace. But in Syria, they were gozer on the afar, but not on the airspace. Therefore, you go in a container in the airspace, you are tahar. Without getting into the details yet. And Vakonis Sod of Surya Konav Varvar Yushalayim, the Mahilchsa. In what way is buying a field in Syria like buying a field in Yushalayim? You could even write the sale document on Shabbos. It's Docha Shabbos. The buying a field from the Goyim in Syria is more important than Shabbos. Shabbos al Gedaita. It's Matrikal Shabbos. That's ridiculous. Can't be. So the answer is just like Rabbi said elsewhere. Doesn't mean you can do Malach on Shabbos. It means you can do Amir L'Akam and tell a Goy to do Malach on Shabbos. Here it means you can tell a Goy to write the Shah on Shabbos. Normally, Amir L'Akam is Asur, but for the sake of buying a field in Yerushalayim, you can tell a Goy to do Malach of writing. And likewise, for buying a field in Syria, you could also tell a Goy to do Malach of writing. Why? The Avagav is Amir L'Akam Shvos, even though telling a Goy to do Malach on Shabbos in Ishtar Rabbanan, Misham Yishav Eretzrael, Gazer Rabbanan. Because in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim were in Gozer, and that mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies not only in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, but even in Syria. Okay, so without getting into the details of Mir Lakum yet, here we have the three ways like Eretz Yisrael, the three ways it is not like Eretz Yisrael. Now we just have to try to understand, and here I realize I don't have a ton of answers, so I'm hoping that you do. What's the basic status of Syria? Basically, according to our sugya, according to our brisa, would you say Syria is basically Kedushas Eretz Yisrael or basically not Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? What does our brisa clearly hold? It basically is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael because Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush, right? The Kibush is what is Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael, and this Kibush counts as a Kibush. So it is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. If it is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, then we have to figure out Tainah, why in three ways it's like Eretz Yisrael? Why in three ways is it not like Eretz Yisrael if you'll keep a Shiach Shmei Kibush? Right? That's what all of the Rishonim here and the Afronim also are wondering. Right? If our Sugya holds, now I'm not talking about how the Rambam holds, I'm talking about how our Sugya holds. Our Sugya says before, is Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush? If Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush, then why it should be like Eretz Yisrael in six ways. Why is it only like Eretz Yisrael in three ways and unlike Eretz Yisrael in three ways? So let's remember, what are the three ways of like Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael was the Trumas or Maestros. The Avir is Tahar. And the King, the Yish of Eretz Yisrael is even Doche Isser Amir Lako. Right, in what way is it like Chutz La'aretz? It is like Chutz La'aretz in the Mechiras Ered for maybe get and for the Tuma of the Afar. In that way, it is like Chutz La'aretz. Interestingly, in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which brings down Machlokes Hanan, whether Kibush Yachish, May Kibush, Alach, May Kibush, it's not exactly like Chutz La'aretz, not exactly like Eretz Yisrael, right? In Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to sell or rent houses or fields to Goyim. In Chutz La'aretz, you are. And in Syria, you're allowed to rent houses, but not sell houses and not rent or sell fields. Okay, see if we can figure that out as well. So now, why is it not like Eretz Yisrael Legamre? Right? Why is Syria like Chutz La'aretz for these three things? Right? If, after all, it's really Eretz Yisrael. Anyone want to try something? What's the like least ambitious way to answer this question?
Each thing has its own special...
Yeah, it's really Eretz Yisrael, but for various technical reasons, there are three problems. After all, what if you were to tell me, I found one town in Israel that has a bunch of things wrong with it, then it would have different dinim than the rest of Israel, not because it has a different status, just because it has technical problems. So one derech is local technical problems. Maybe it's just local technical problems. Someone asks, why in Gittin would you need to say funny nephthim, funny nephthim, if it's really Eretz Yisrael? That's the easiest way to answer. Right? You say, remember, forget all my lumbus in the Rambam. Right? We're not in the Rambam now. Right? All the Rishonim said, yeah, really, it doesn't depend on the technical board, formal borders of Israel. Right? That was my lumbus in the Rambam. I don't think it was my lumbus. I think it was Rishonim in the Rambam. But all the other Rishonim say, not all depends on Kol Mikre Legufo. What's Kehu Gmiri, what isn't? And that's what Rashi says. What does Rashi say here? Rashi says here, Daf Chesam Aleph, Dibur Hamasta, Legitin, in, no, I meant the second last Rashi, but maybe get me Surya Laretz Yisrael, can maybe be Chutz La'aretz. Dlo Shchichi Shayarta, Dlo Shchichi, Ein Neidim Tzuyim L'Kaimo, because they don't have Shayarot. It's not a matter of Kedusha this, Kedusha that, it's just a technical fact. Sometimes there are Shayarot. Why are there no Shayarot? It doesn't really matter. L'maisa, for whatever social, economic reason. And if you would, Rashi here, I guess, is working within Rava. If you want to be Rava, you would say the habit to not have learned. Right? So, you could say when it comes to get, you could say that Rashi says lo shchichi, and we could add that also not gemiri, right? Or, right, if we wanted to say for Rava, that would be easy enough. Lefi Rava, we could say they're lo gemiri. Right? That's easy enough to add. Now, the truth is, who remembers the re in the first, not the first Tosos, the first very long Tosos in our Masechet? What did the re say about the borders of our Mishnah? Remember, are they Gvulos only Mitzrayim or Gvulos only Bavel? What did the re think? The Gvulos? No. The re thought they're the Gvulos of? No. I know, but what did the re think? Ikar Yishuv, right? The Ikar Yishuv, they're not any formal gvulos, the Ikar Yishuv. So for the Re, it's very simple, right? And the Re basically, he doesn't say this like in the structure, I'm giving like, let's learn the Gemara Daf Ches and try to work it out. But he very, very clearly, you know, it says the Re on Tosos, Daf Beis of an Aleph, would say very pashut, that it's Chutz L'Ikar Yishuv. Because Gittin doesn't depend on Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, not on Oli Bavel, not on Oli Mitzrayim. It depends on the Ikar Yishuv, which is basically the same thing as Rashi. Why does it depend on the Ikar Yishuv? Because of Shechichu Gemiri, right? So they're basically the same thing, right? They're not intuitive. It's just saying, get depends on these practical aspects. The Re just reads our whole Mishnah as Ikar Yishuv. Rashi would say, no, our whole Mishnah is not Ikar Yishuv, but the Surya element is because they're not Shechichi. Okay, again, it's very practical. That's easy enough to get rid of. How about Evet? Why would, if it's really Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, then what's so bad? Clearly, the Evet goes free because it's usher to sell your Evet to that location. Right? That's clear. The Evid goes free because you're not allowed to send him there. What's so bad about sending him to Surya if it is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael?
It depends if it's Mafkeh mi mitzvah or mi mitzvos. If it's Mafkeh mi mitzvah, being there, it's going to be like formal borders. If it's mitzvos in general, it depends who lives there.
Aha. So what's he suggesting? Meaning, clearly the reason it's also to sell your Evid to Chutz Aretz because it takes down a mitzvos. What mitzvah? If you don't have the mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz, clearly it has the mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz. That's what it says in Amid Beis. I mean, the Tashmish is very complicated, but simple shot says it's Doche Amir Lakam on Shabbos. We show Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Gozer Rabban. We show the Mitzvah Trumas or Maestros, Kivish Yashmei Kivish. It's Chayim and Trumas or Maestros, just like Eretz Yisrael. So, what do we, but what Tzvi is suggesting is that if you're talking about not mitzvos of technically what mitzvahs you're Chayim on, right? I'm reading you right? Not technically what mitzvahs you're Chayim on or not. But you can imagine someone were to say that, you sell your Eved from Yerushalayim to, it's getting very dangerous here. You sell your Eved, all right, I'm going to offend someone here. All right, whatever. You sell your Eved from a place which has Trumkai and Kashrus and Shabbos, etc. And you sell them to a place which is technically in Eretz Yisrael, but no one keeps Shabbos and no one eats kosher, whatever. You're mafkiyim for mitzvos, not in the formal technical sense. You're mafkiyim for mitzvos in the tachlis sense. And maybe that's what the Re assumes in the Tosos and Daf Beis and Aleph when he talks about Akko. He says, if you sell your Eved someplace which is far from the Ikar Yishuv, then he goes free. Remember, the Re held that the Akko that Rav Meir is talking about, I know I'm starting to chazer the b'chin already, the Re said the Akko that Rav Meir is talking about, that both Rav Meir and the Chum agree the slave goes free, is the Akko that's inside the borders of Eretz Yisrael, the half that's inside Eretz Yisrael. Why does the Eved go free? Says because it's far from the Ikar Yishuv. Who cares if it's far from the Ikar Yishuv? It's far from the Ikar Yishuv, then there's no mitzvahs there. I mean, it's impossible. You can keep mitzvahs anywhere. But, so then it's very, very simple. The Re would say that it's rachok me'ikr yishov, and whatever you sell someone far away from the ikr yishov, that is being mafkia them in a tachla sense, although not in a formal sense for mitzvos, and that's why the Eved goes free. You can't sell the Eved to the boondocks. He has to be in a mainstream Jewish community. That is, there's one guy who lives in the middle of Yafo. Are there Jews in Yafo nowadays?
Yes.
Okay. There's one guy who lives in the middle of Abu Ghosh. So you sell your Eved to the middle of Abu Ghosh, it's a safe place. Just not a place where they keep a lot of the mitzvahs, which is actually fine for them. You leave one Jewish guy in the middle of Abu Ghosh and you sell your Eved to there. So what's the Eved going to do in the middle of Abu Ghosh? He's going to eat at the restaurants in Abu Ghosh. He's going to, do whatever everyone in Abu Ghosh does on Saturday. What?
It's pretty kosher.
No, it is not. You have your pshat in the Rambam. Okay, not everyone agrees with that pshat in the Rambam. Tzarchi and go.
By the
way, the restaurant that
Abu Ghosh
has to have. All right. Okay, you understand the restraints that I'm working within. The constraints that I'm working within, rather. Okay, so you could say it's rachok me'ikr yishuv. That's a possible explanation for what the technical problem. It's not a chisaron of Eretz Yisrael. It's just a maisa. It's not a strong Jewish community. Or one of the many suggestions that this is in the Tosfos. It's really in Tosfos. Tosfos, right before the reading of Mechadesh to Ikr Yishuv, what does Tosfos say in Beis Min Aleph? Tosfos says, exactly, the Tosfos, what does he say? Maybe it's like Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you're selling him someplace where the offer is Tameh. So you're being mafkiyam for the mitzvah of Tara, of Tumah v'Tara. Therefore, that's enough of a reason. And then the Re says Ikar Yishuv. So, but before that, right? Tosfos. in Daf Beis on Aleph before the Re. Before the Re gets his Yisod. I think after the Re gets his Yisod, he might just say after Yishuv. He says, because of Tumas Afar, if you're selling to something that for us, this sounds a little weird, right? We grew up our whole lives without Tumas Vatara, and we think we're all good Jews. And we're all very, very from. We are for our circumstances. But back in the days, if you sold someone someplace where the offer was Tumah and there would be no Tumah, there would be no Tara, that was Mavkiyah during mitzvos. And therefore, he went free as a knas because you're not allowed to move someplace where you won't have Tumah v'Tara. So that could be another technical explanation as well. And that's what Tosu said before he brings in the Re. Also in this Shotashveitz, this is actually a very famous, this and the one before it. Shotash based about the different relationship between different boards there. Israel, he mentions this possibility as well. He says, it's not like Eretz Yisrael for mitzvos, right? You're missing mitzvos because they were gozer tuma. Meaning, what mitzvah? So shkoyach, you have like truma, but you can't do anything with it because the offer is tuma, etc. What? Yeah, okay, fine, whatever, however it works. Okay. How about, what's the last one? How about Tumas Afar? What are you going to say? If it's really like Eretz Yisrael, why would they be gozer on Tumas Afar?
Well, just for Rashi, it doesn't seem like Rashi and Avadim is explaining it's based on like this bigger picture idea. So it's very specifically taking it out of Eretz Yisrael.
Correct. But he doesn't explain exactly what that means, right? Meaning, and in what way? A way I'm reading Rashi there is Rashi just echoing the Lashon of the Gemara elsewhere and saying in a very general sense without specifying in what way is it like Kutz Laretz, right? So you can read whatever you wanted to it, but you're not really able to prove much in that Rashi, in my humble opinion. How about Tumas Afar? What would be the technical problem of the Afar of Surya?
People bury their dead wherever they want.
Right, so the answer is Tumas Afar is has nothing to do with Chalos Israel, Chalos Kutz Laretz. Has to do with whether, now why are they, it's interesting, why are they goes on the Afar of Eretz Amen? So the simple shot is there goes in the offer to Amin because of a chash of death, of graves or at least bones, right? Whether graves or bones we'll get to next Makor Shita Meretz Hashem. But that's a practical issue, meaning maybe they weren't careful about burials, right? So you just say in Nizharim. Bikfaros, maybe they weren't careful about graves, or says the Pnei Yeshua, he gives two other possible explanations. What are the Pnei Yeshua's explanations? Mase Mabel, meaning this is Machloksha Yochanan Shlakish, that the Mabel reached Israel. Now, if you assume the Mabel didn't reach Israel, then the Mase Mabel's bones are mixed into the dirt of every country but Israel. So you have the bones of the Mase Mabel, or. The Haruge Nebuchadnezzar. Apparently, Nebuchadnezzar killed so many people all over the place, and they were never given a proper burial in a cemetery, and their bones were all over, except Israel. They worked very hard to clean it out. So therefore, you have to say, like, okay, historically, there's just a technical problem. Either in general, they're not Nizar, or the Pesach says, no, it's not that in general, they're not Nizar. It's that there was just a particular historical occurrence that affected Syria, not Israel, either the Mabel, or the Mesei Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar killed people in Israel. But in Israel, they managed to clear out all the dead bodies to the graveyard. And in Syria, they didn't. Okay, particular historical event, there's no one of us about it. So that's one derech, is to view it all as technical. However, one derech is to view it all as technical. However, there is a second derech. The second derech is no. That there's a, even though Kibbutz, yes?
Led us when you led the child in the Gemara, when you said that Eretz Amin, you said that the fact that Kibush Yochi is Kibush, that makes it Chayav and Shumas and Maiz with Midoraita. That doesn't, because you need the Kibush of Kibush Baba.
Okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought. You might have to hold it for more than today's year, based on the clock. Anyway, the Me'iri says no, there's a, that even if Kibush Yochich made Kibush, that doesn't give it the full status of Eretz Yisrael. What does the Me'iri say here? To save time, I printed out Morty's Makoros. Says the Me'iri, Joel notwithstanding. It's not completely like Eretz Yisrael, even though Kibush Yachid made Kibush. Why? Kibush Yachid is 100% Shmei Kibush. So why is it exactly like Israel? Because it was conquered in the wrong order. Even if private Kibush is valid, but there's still a Chisaron because it was conquered in the wrong order. I know Tosa says it's what Kibush Yachid means. I mean, he obviously doesn't. He says, even though Kibush Yachid made Kibush, there's a Chisaron in the Kibush. Because halachically, you're supposed to first Kibush all of Israel and then expand your borders to Chutz La'aretz if you so desire. And David conquered part of Chutz La'aretz before he finished conquering Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it doesn't have a complete status like Eretz Yisrael. There's obviously not a practical point. It's no worse for the Eved or for the Kiyum of the Get or for the bones in the soil if David conquered in order or out of order, right? This is not practical at all. This is a fundamental. This is a fundamentally. Intermediate status. And this is the Meiri. And where did the Meiri get this idea from? He didn't invent this idea. I put in the course the Rashba in Avodah Zarah quotes this from the Ravid. And Bar Ilan doesn't have the Ravid in Avodah Zarah. We have. The Ravid wrote on all of Shas. Right? The Meiri calls him Gedolei HaMeforshim on Shas. Right? We don't have the Ravid in all of Shas. We only have a handful of Masechtos. Avodah Zarah, I found it in Bar Ilan, but I have it at home. It's right there in the Chiddush Arayb, right there in Avodah Zarah, but I found the Rashba on the Bar Ilan, so I put it here. He quoted from the Ravid. Right, he quotes the same idea from the Ravid. Right, we perish HaRavid Zal. The Ravid and the Rashba and the Meiri say, this is the Ravid and the Rashba in Avodah Zarah, and the Meiri both in Avodah Zarah and here. He says the same thing in both places. It's a fundamentally intermediate status. On the one hand, Kibush Yachid, Shmei Kibush. If Kibush Yachid hadn't been a Kibush, there would be no Kibush. It would have no status. But, on the other hand, it was Kibush Shelo Kiseder. Kibush out of order is Kibush. But it's not the same level of Kibush. It's a lower level of Kedusha. Therefore, it's fundamentally a lower level of Kedusha. There's not a practical problem. It is a fundamental problem. It has a fundamentally intermediate status. And that also explains why we're matir schiros batim to goyim in Syria if there's a mitzvah of yeshiva aretz. Now, schiros batim is only also as a gzeira up to a schiros batim. So why are we more makel? We allow renting houses to a goy in Syria and not in Israel? They say no problem because it has an intermediate status. According to this way, it's going to be very hard to find a technical reason why. This the tricky part, the Achilles heel of this derech, the Sarach Ion, why Schirus Batim is mutter. The word goes on Schirus Batim to selling houses. It's usher to sell houses and to sell fields. In Israel, it's usher to rent houses or fields, gzera atu selling. In Syria, it's usher to rent fields, gzera atu selling, because selling is a double avera. It's lo sechanim and taking away terumas or maisos. Since selling houses is only single avera, they weren't gozer on renting. Why? It's a little tricky. What technical reasons do they have to not be gozer on schiris batin if it has kedusha saaretz? No one gives a technical reason. You know, what technical reason could there be? You know, maybe you could just say, oh, because, like, it's hard not to rent houses, so there aren't enough Jews to rent them, so they were more makel, you know, maybe just economic pressure, you know, but it's a little tricky. You know, I'm just making that up. Maybe it's economic pressure, but I admit I'm just making it up. Or to Meiri, that would make all four things make sense. Yeah, as an in-between status. The only thing that Meiri never gets around to explaining, or the Raivan never gets around to explaining, is... Fine, I believe it has intermediate status. Why does that intermediate status make these three ways like Eretz Yisrael, these three ways like Chutz La'aretz, and Avodah Zarah when it comes to renting and selling houses, some compromise in between? Like, just because it's in between, why should we split it this way? I thought very hard. You know, you'd like to say, well, you know, some things are only, it depend if you're Shem Chutz La'aretz, and something depends if you're Shem Eretz Yisrael, and they're in between or something, but it's going to be very, very hard to, it's going to be very, very hard to justify why in these ways it's like Israel, and in these ways it's like chutzlaretz, unless you want to say, like, some of these things you say we're just machmer both ways. By eved and get chutzlaretz more chummer, and tovas afer chutzlaretz more chummer, so you treat it like chutzlaretz. By yishav aretz, here it's a little tricky. Like, it's a kula dum yirlakum, but it's a chumra tam mitzvah yishav aretz, so, like, the yishav aretz were machmer, chumas or maisos were machmer, what do you do with the taras afer? You know, that's why aren't we machmer? So, it frustrates me that I read them at Yerim Raivin. They have a very clear shita, but they don't explain why it's one way, not the other way. Agav, the Tashbait says something in one of his answers similar to this for a different reason. He just says, even a kibush yachich may kibush, it's still a lower level kibush. He doesn't throw in another factor. But he ends up, so some intermediate, but here, Tzarech Ion, you know, Tzarech Ion, why, you know, this, why these three are to Eretz Yisrael, and those three are to Chutzler. I understand. He's saying it's for a formal reason, not a practical reason, and therefore he's different than Rashi in the Re, or Rashi where he says in the Re. That I understand, but how he gets there, I'm not sure. So let's just bench the rub before we stop, or not.
Just a suggestion. The difference between the two groups sounds similar to the distinction what the rub makes between economic Eretz Yisrael and Karta Eretz Yisrael. I didn't develop it, but it just has that sleep.
Okay, well, the Rav does take it in that direction. What does the Rav say? The Rav says something different. The Rav actually doesn't build off the Meiri. It would be interesting to see if he could build this off the Meiri. The Rav says here, remember his chilak between Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Shem Eretz Yisrael. And remember the Nafkamina. The Rav starts with the Nafkamina we said on the very first year, maybe even. He says that, the places that were settled by, that were they conquered by Olam Mitzrayim, but not only Babel, they have Shem Eretz Yisrael, but not Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. He never said if there's anything that's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but not Shem Eretz Yisrael. However, there's already Radvaz in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos, who says Syria has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael if you hold Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush. He's talking about Eber Yargin, actually. But it's not the Mokum Shechina. Okay, says the Rav. This is Derech 3. Says the Rav. Says the Rav that Surya has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but not Shame Eretz Yisrael. Why does it not have Shame Eretz Yisrael? If you want to be clever, you could say, it has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Yachad is Kibush. It doesn't have Shame Eretz Yisrael because it's out of order. But that's not what the Rav says, because, like, why being out of order? The Ma'akid Shame not the two seasons plus it. Doesn't have Shame Eretz Yisrael because it's not the country described in the Chumash. Shem Eretz Yisrael is only what the Chumash talks about. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is every year Mekadesh. It has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael because Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush. It doesn't have Shem Eretz Yisrael because it's not the land promised in the Torah. The Torah says, what's Shem Eretz Yisrael? The land described in the Torah. The Torah says, this is Eretz Yisrael. Remember the borders? It's not within the borders that in Parshas Matos. The Torah says, what's Eretz Yisrael? And it's not the borders of Eretz Yisrael. You want to add to the Kedusha, you can add to the Kedusha. But it's not Shem Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Rav says, there's a very clear distinction. It's the diametrical opposite mirror image of the Makom Shekhavshu Olei Mitzrayim Velo Olei Bavel. That has Shem Eretz Yisrael without Kedusha. This has Kedusha without Shem. Now, the only tricky part is, the Rav now has to explain why these nafkaminas are toloi on Kedush Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Shem Eretz Yisrael. So what does he ask? What does the Rav say? The Rav has to say, these are toloi b'kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Trumas or Maishas, obviously toloi Kedush Eretz Yisrael. Yishav Haaretz, the Rav says, well, why is Yishav Haaretz such a big mitzvah? Maybe it's such a big mitzvah because you get to do mitzvah tulias baaretz. That's generally the way the Rav looked at it. Maybe we don't like it in this room, I don't know. But he says, yeah, that's very easy. This is clearly a function of Kedusha, and this is a function of mitzvah tulias baaretz. Whenever you can do mitzvah tulias baaretz, that's a big mitzvah Yishav Haaretz, which is doch emir la'akum. And mitzvah tulias baaretz, then a Kedusha. How about the avir? Here it's not exactly so clear. He didn't 100%. But you have to say, when they made the Gzera and Avir, they said any place that's Kadosh, we're not going to make. You have to say, Lo Gazru al Makom HaKadosh Bekdushas Eretz Yisrael. After all, especially if, here's the question we can get to. Why did they meet the Gzeira Mi'avir? We're not sure yet. But don't say because there might be graves. Because then, why are they meeting Gzeira in the Afar here and not the other? If there are graves, they should both be Asur, if not, not. Simple pshat is, the Afar is for the graves, is for the bones. But Mestama, there are Goyim there, and the Goyim aren't retiring to Ohel. The Afar is just to keep you from going there. If it has mitzvahs, please fire if they didn't want to keep you from going there. Not crazy. The only thing that they say that maybe get depends on Shem Eretz Yisrael. That he already said in Daf Beis on Aleph. Then how about the Eved? So he says also Eved, and here's the Chiddush, is Taloi B'Shem Eretz Yisrael. Here I'm not exactly sure why. Because if it's Mafkia Mitzvos, then why should selling the Eved be Taloi on Shem Eretz Yisrael? You know, Geth, I understand, it's a formal din. So here's a little tricky. Why is it just the technicality of the Gzeira of Eved Taloi on Shem Eretz Yisrael? But that's what the Rav says. And this one, he had a little trouble. Why should the Tum of the Dirt be Taloi on Eretz Yisrael? This one, the Rav gave a technical reason and said, you know, here I'm going to go with the technical reason. I'm not going to continue my lumdus. But that's the Rav's lumdus. He differentiated between Shem Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. L'maisa, all these hesperim need a certain amount of dechak. None of them are super smooth. Come over to me if you have a smoother way to read any of these. I did the best I could. Halacha l'maisa, what we see here is three drachim. One is that it's total Eretz Yisrael with the three technical problems. The other is that the kibush is a half kibush. The yachid part is okay, but the shalok seder part is still not okay, so it's an in-between status. Very hard to figure out how to get from there to there. Or the Rav, he gave us a derech. He says, it's not just, I don't like in-between statuses. The Rav didn't say things like that. He liked clear hagdoros. It has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael without Shem Eretz Yisrael. The only tricky part is, how does he know these three things are telling Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, these three things are telling Shem Eretz Yisrael? Agav, when it comes to the Sefiras Batim, it's actually not bad at all. You could say that we make a zero on the Sadex. There are two bad things about selling it. You know, that you're selling it to Goyim, that they're not going to keep Shrumas or Maestros. But not the houses. There's only one bad thing about selling it to Goyim. In Eretz Yisrael, we even ask for renting houses, because there's two bad things about selling it, the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and the Shem Eretz Yisrael. So already there, maybe I can fit that into a Zara. L'maisa, I'm not going to come back to this. We'll pick up with number three on this Makoros sheet. The Rambam, I'll just mention briefly, the Rambam Paskins, like the Mefurish Pesach in the Avodah Zarah, the Kibush Yachid Lashmei Kibush, and therefore views everything differently. Interestingly, even though Kibush Yachid Lashmei Kibush, the Rambam still says these three ways it's like Eretz Yisrael, these three ways it's like Chutzar, just me Drabbanan, it's like Eretz Yisrael for Trumas Maestros. Which is interesting, but I'm not going to go back to that. I want to pick up with number three, Amir Tz Hashem, next time.